T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Get ready, folks. Tomorrow, we're going to have LSU baseball for you. The Tigers taking on Southeastern, looking for a bounce back after a tough weekend at the box. Hopefully, they can rebound against Southeastern. That's a 6:30 first pitch you can catch tomorrow right here on WWL and the Odyssey app. Also in action tomorrow, the Pelicans back home for a few after going through a road trip. Won their last two games. Happy to welcome in now Kurt Hellen from ProBasketballTalk.com. How have you been, Kurt?
I'm pretty good, man. I cover basketball for a living. Like, how bad can my life be? It's all good here.
I love something you had posted earlier about Mike Greenberg talking about UConn being able to make the playoffs in the NBA's Eastern Conference. I feel like we go through this almost yearly with different sports. Alabama could beat some NFL team. And I don't know why people continue with this take when you realize it's like there's a bunch of professional athletes. A group of them is going to be much better than a collegiate team. And no matter how good that collegiate team may be, how many number one prospects you have, the whole notion is pretty ridiculous.
You're spot on. It's just ridiculous across sports, right? UConn has 3, maybe 4 NBA level players on their roster. By definition, the Washington Wizards, the worst team in the NBA, have 15. The level of talent is different. The level of execution that comes with that is different. But there have been some great LSU football teams. They're not beating an NFL team. They're just not. It's an across the board different level of play. And that's true. We're talking about the NHL and hockey or, soccer or whatever. Doesn't matter.
Kurt, the other night we got a big scare here for the Pelicans when Brandon Ingram went down with a knee issue. Luckily, we're hoping it's only going to be 2 weeks, maybe a little bit longer. It's not a season-ending deal. But where do you see this team being able to survive, I guess, these last 11 games without him?
This is where that wing depth with you've been bringing Trey Jones off the bench. You can slide him in, and he's a very different player, obviously. But with him and Herb Jones out there, suddenly you've got really good defense on the wings. You can, you're asking a little more. But on a team without a traditional point guard, it hurts to lose Brandon Ingram's shot creation. But, you've still got Zion. You've still got CJ. You've got guys who can do it. You're going to have to, be smart about your sets. But they will be good enough to survive. And I don't know if they're going to climb up to 3. That might be a big ask. The bigger concern is just holding on to either climbing up to 4 and getting that home court in the first round, which the way the Clippers are playing is possible. The Clippers have been disinterested in playing good basketball for a few weeks now. And also avoiding anybody. Dallas is starting to play really well. You want to make sure that they don't sneak past you. So I think they've got it, but I think they should be able to get enough wins, even though, as you were just mentioning, they come home. But the next two and a half weeks of the schedule is pretty brutal.
Oh, easily. I mean, Kurt, that's kind of what we were talking about in the first segment here before we brought you on, is the next 6 games, it's all at home at the Smoothie King Center, where the Pelicans have been okay. They haven't been great at home. I mean, this is the most important stretch of the season, given the timing of it.
Yeah.
And if you're looking at the standings right now, the Pelicans have a 2-game lead on the Suns for the 6th spot, and then a 2.5-game lead on the Kings and the Mavericks for the play-in tournament. So obviously, if you're a Pelicans fan, you want to at least get a top six seed. I mean, even looking past potentially getting the four if the Clippers continue to slip up. If you're looking at right now, the last couple games, all those teams are on winning streaks. So the Pelicans really can't afford to fall apart over the six-game stretch. And once again, we'll get into it here. The Thunder, the Bucks, the Celtics, the Suns, and the Magic, and the Spurs. Before I kind of get into a game-by-game breakdown with you about it, what do you think the Pelicans need to go in that six-game stretch at home to kind of stay afloat and stay out of the play-in tournament?
I think 3-3 is a reasonable thing through that stretch, just because that's some really good teams coming in. I mean, we don't see a lot of Orlando, but you guys just saw them last week. Like, and they beat you. Like, that's a good team. And, you know, the Thunder and Bucks are obviously at the top of their conferences. So if you can get through that 3-3, and even the Spurs were kind of like, eh, they're terrible. And they kind of are, except they got Wemby and, frankly, in addition to Devin Vassell, they've got a couple of guys who can make life difficult. And you're going to have to put together a good game. But I think if you get through their 3-3, they've got every team left has 10 to 12 games. There's not a lot of time to catch up. If you can just keep your head above water, as well as some of those teams you're playing, there's just not going to be enough time.
And then so now we're getting down to game by game. I want to get your breakdown of the matchup against the Thunder. The Pelicans welcomed the Thunder to town in late January. It was actually part of the same three-game stretch that they're going to have now this upcoming week with the Thunder and then the Bucks and then the Celtics. And that game against the Thunder, they got blown out at home, but they didn't have Zion Williamson in that game. They're 1-1 against OKC. They won in Oklahoma City with Zion playing. And the way that he's been playing right now, I think he's going to be a big difference maker for that game. But Oklahoma City, there's a reason they're 49-21. They're a half game back of the first place in the Western Conference. I just want to get your breakdown of this game.
You know what's fascinating about the Western Conference, and I think this is true for, especially if it ends up being the 4-5 matchup against the Clippers, like it looks like it probably will be, is the West is so about matchups. And I think you guys can give the Thunder some trouble. They have obviously great skill. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to finish top two in MVP voting, probably second, but he's going to be, I mean, he's just been phenomenal this season. And his complete game and ability to kind of do it, it's kind of weird. He starts up top. He doesn't really get wide. He kind of does it going north-south. He's fantastic. They've got shooters everywhere. They've got real talent. The one thing you can do, though, is you can bully them. It's why the Lakers have given them trouble. If you're physical, you can push them around a little bit. And I think that's where Oklahoma City comes in. You know, they've got good defenders like Lou Dort and on down the line, frankly. But they don't have anybody who can physically match up necessarily well with Zion. And if some guys can knock down some shots around him, you can push them around.
And then moving on to the two top Eastern Conference opponents, as I mentioned, the Bucks and the Celtics. The Bucks have been decent in the last 10. I mean, the Celtics are on another 9-game winning streak. They're going to finish with well over 65 wins this season. They're the best team in the NBA. But before getting to that, your thoughts on the Bucks? I think is technically a winnable game for the Pelicans. I think the Celtics, however, it's going to be really tough.
Yeah, well, I'm with you. On the Celtics, just quickly, they are the best team in the NBA during the regular season. I think Denver beat them a couple of weeks ago, gives them some matchup problems because, you know, that Jokic guy turns out to be pretty good. But Milwaukee, on the other hand, is beatable right now. Even though there's moments where it comes together for them and they look great, that's not consistent for them. And they're still trying to figure out how to make Giannis Antetokounmpo and Damian Lillard play off each other and get comfortable with each other. And now Chris Middleton's back, which they need, but now you're fitting a third guy into that mix. And they just don't defend consistently. Some of the stuff that built them to a championship level, as talented as they are, they're beatable on a given night if they're not focused and click. I don't know, focused isn't the right word. They just don't execute on a night-to-night basis like you think they should at this point in the season. And that's been one thing that Willie Green has gotten the Pelicans doing, right? I mean, they're executing night in and night out.
And then kind of wrapping up this stretch, I want to get to the Suns real quick as well. I think if you were going to ask me what are the most important games of the six-game road stand or home stand, it's the Thunder and the Suns. Like, you can lose to the Bucks and Celtics. That would be understandable. But those top Western Conference playoff teams, this is your first kind of look at them before the playoffs start in a few weeks. You got to show out. And the Pelicans, they had a loss to the Suns a couple months ago that just was really, really ugly. And they'll definitely be looking for a bounce back. Devin Booker was on fire in that game. And they'll obviously need to take down a Suns squad that's been pretty up and down.
And that's the danger of them. I picked the Suns before the season to be the Western Conference finalists, and I have sprained my ankle jumping off that bandwagon. They're not good enough defensively. They're not going to string together games. But on a given night, what makes them dangerous is that they have Devin Booker and Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal and three guys who can win you a game by themselves on a night. And so that's – you've got to really play good defense. I think the depth of defense with Herb Jones, with everybody on the Pelicans, makes them, like, for the same reason they match up well with the Clippers and their three guys. This is a good matchup for them as much as it gets there, but you just have to hope one of those guys doesn't go off. But you were spot on about that. If there's one game in this series stretch you've got to have, it's this one. That's the one circled on the calendar.
You talked about a little about Herb Jones. Obviously, we love that guy down here. He's been so crucial for this Pelicans team. We even say he might be the MVP of the roster this year. The Pel's really pushing for him to be first team all defense. Think it's deserved so. What's it going to take, though, for Herb to make the first all defensive team?
Can I be honest? I am a voter. I find way more than all NBA – how I'm going to deal with all defense in the new NBA system where it's the positionless, much more difficult because I want to put Herb Jones in. I want to put Jalen Suggs from Orlando, who you guys saw a few nights ago and is a fantastic defender, Alex Caruso with the Bucks. But I could put those three guys and seven centers in and call it good because centers just tend to impact your defense more. And so I think part of it's going to be that. They can do the marketing they want, but I think it's going to be how voters ultimately come to try to balance the weirdness of that. And I'll be honest with you, as a voter, I'm not totally sure how I'm going to do it yet. I'm actually talking to people because I'm like, you don't want to list 10 centers. That's boring, and it's not really what basketball is. I don't want to leave out guys like Herb Jones, who he's blocked. Well, I think he's blocked 14 threes this season, which is just a ridiculous number, and his contest rate is fantastic. Like, those guys need to be rewarded too. So I think you promote it and you try to get it out there and you talk about it, and that's the best you can do, because I think with this new system there's a lot of us voters trying to — it's a little easier with all NBA where you're just picking the 15 best players. Like, players 14 and players 16 are really different different levels, but it's harder, I think, with defense just not having positions to fall back on.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point, Kurt, because, I mean, you're looking at center, right? And obviously Rudy Gobert is probably going to win his, you know, what is it, fourth now Defensive Player of the Year award. But also another guy that's going to be a first-team All-NBA defensive player, and he's another center, the rookie that's the last team on this homestand, is Victor Wembanyama and the Spurs. Yeah. And, you know, I think that it's an interesting conversation about, you know, Wimby's candidacy for Defensive Player of the Year as a rookie, just because he's got ridiculous numbers, and the Spurs defense with him versus without him on the floor is just night and day.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, Gobert's — he's been there, done that, and also the Timberwolves have the best defensive rating of any team in the NBA, which is why he's going to end up winning it. But at the same time, Wembanyama deserves a first-team All-NBA defensive team nomination as well, despite playing on such a bad defense, and he's also a center.
It's hard. When I first started putting together that list, you know, my just rough draft in pencil list for that, and also Defensive Player of the Year, the first three names that popped in my head were Gobert, Bam Adebayo, Anthony Davis, and then Wembanyama was in. And so that's where I was at. I'm like, I'm four guys deep, and I haven't gotten to a position other than center yet. And then that comes back to the balance thing. But he changes the geometry of the court, doesn't he? Like, the stuff you thought you could get away with — and there's a great — if you can find the clip online, there's a great clip where they played Memphis the other day, and he was the only guy back, running back, and this Memphis guard starts driving on the in transition, looks up and goes, peels off and goes, no, I'm not getting shut down, kicks it to the trailer, who decides to drive the lane, and Wemby just kind of turns and gets in his way, and that guy goes, nah, I'm not getting blocked. And they both peel off, and they end up having to set up a whole half-court set just because he intimidates guys. It's just he's going to have some incredible block records by the time his career is over.
He's an alien. Like, isn't he? He's just a freak of nature. Like, I can't even use a different term to describe him. And the fact that he's on a Spurs team that's really bad right now, but once they get some pieces around him, he's going to be a terror for that Southwest division with our Pelicans.
Yeah, you know, he is going to be, and it's funny. You think, well, they're kind of like Oklahoma City. They can take a couple years and build this thing. He's getting so good so fast that, like, the value of their own draft picks goes down because he's going to will them or just play them to too good a record. You're not going to get, and this is not considered a deep draft. 2025 is considered a deep draft with some really great guys at the top, and they're not going to be in it because he's going to win them too many games next year.
And then you mentioned youth, and I want to go back to the Thunder real quick. I think I saw a stat that, like, their average age of their starting lineups actually just younger than the UNC starting lineup right now in March Madness and college basketball. How kind of concerned are you about that youth once it comes to playoff time and the pressure just ramps up, intensifies?
Oh, yeah. I can tell you that there are firsthand that there are teams who would like if you're going to face one of the top three, if you're going to get Minnesota, Denver, or OKC, the Thunder are the team everybody wants. A, because like I said, there's a strategy for them. If you can be physical, you can push them around. You certainly can't do that with Denver, and frankly, you can't do that with Minnesota with Gobert and if Towns is back. But even without him, Naz Reid and Anthony Edwards, like they're a strong, physically strong team. But I am a believer that you have to learn how to win at the NBA level. And these guys, even Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, just they don't have the experience yet. In a couple of years, watch out. But right now, I think that they're going to learn hard lessons this year about the value of every possession in the postseason and how the intensity and the matchups are just different.
Kurt, always appreciate the time for you. Thank you so much. And hoping that the Pacers can do us a favor tonight and beat the Clippers in L.A.
We got a couple games we got to keep an eye on tonight, Steve.
I will tell you, I was at the Clipper game yesterday, and they forgot to set their alarms or something for that afternoon. It is weird to watch a team think they can just flip a switch like that. That should be the best, so much better than that. They're not good.
Always appreciate you, Kurt. Thank you, and be talking to you soon.
Take care, man.
Thanks, Kurt.
Kurt Hellen, the lead NBA writer and managing editor of NBCSports.com. You can see his work there at Pro Basketball Talk.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.